12th day of February. We'll call for some of the county water districts to order. And we don't have any public comments, I don't think. And we'll look at the number one, consent agreement, agenda.
We've got the minutes of our last meeting on there, the November meeting, and then also our annual appraisal district contract on the consent agenda, exactly the same contract we sign with them every year.
I move we adopt the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Have a motion to adopt the consent agenda. No further questions or comments. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Move it. Pass, please. That looks like yours.
Tab two is our annual audit. February of every year we have this audit prepared by Mr. Cody and Gerald Nelson. Actually prepared by Gerald Nelson. Mr. Cody's presenting it for him. That's it, if you want to.
Okay. I'm sure you don't want me to go through this by page by page. I know that.
We have.
Well, let's look at page 16. And page 31. And what I'm going to talk about is your actual expenses and your budget. And I don't think we need to do anything for 2019, because you already have a budget for 2019. But if you look on page 16, under expenses, expenditures, about the third line up, capital outlays of $1,031,279. If you go to page 31, you'll find that under the third column, general fund, actual expenditure. But you see there's anything budgeted for that. The auditor would like, if we could, start budgeting for capital outlays, and I will tell you what that is. I think one of the things you bought was a new truck. And was it in the water production or water distribution?
I think it's in distribution, isn't it, John? I believe it is, yes. It's in John's budget.
You budgeted it, but it's a capital outlay, so it really winds up as a capital asset, and we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, it was a little bit in the park. I think it was some pad or something that you built, a couple.
We built a couple of pavilions, small pavilions, yes.
And then the biggest thing was the water line extensions, which are capital assets that we appreciate. So the auditor recommends to start budgeting those. And I would not amend my 2019 budget, but I start doing that for 2020. That's just a suggestion.
He recommends budgeting them
as capital outlays.
As capital outlays in their own separate line item, rather than lumping them in with, okay.
Because that's the way I have it presented.
Okay.
And the way we present those is we get those out so the readers can see those and tie those in with the depreciation, put the note for the depreciation. Yes, sir.
So what you're saying there within the budget, but they're not properly endorsed, is that?
Look, not properly coded.
Coded.
Because as expenditure, I'm going to code them to something different.
But they're in the budget.
They're in the budget. We just want to change them out.
That doesn't change the total budget.
No, sir, it doesn't.
Okay.
Identify.
What's that?
Identify.
Yes, sir, it does. And that's one of the things I look for. If something's miscoded, I definitely, if it's a capital asset, and if you look at your note, I think we capitalize anything $1,000 or more. That's something he brought up to me when he reviewed the financial statements and the work that I did. What I'm saying, it's not anything really that significant. It's just a better disclosure.
He's talking about that as well.
Not a major problem, obviously.
It's not even a problem.
Just something they're located on here is now what we do.
Okay, well, if you wanted to budget, if you're talking about the budget.
If you wanted to find out where, if you look here at the general fund, we see this expenditure that was expended, where would we find out it was expended?
Well, it's expended under the general fund, capital outlays. Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about how it's budgeted?
But it's not itemized.
Well, okay, I can tell you that.
Okay, it's not just.
Okay, look at page 22. I can't tell you item by item. Well, I kind of can. See the top of the page 22?
Yeah.
Capital assets being depreciated. Okay. Machinery and equipment, $76,689. That's the new truck.
Yeah.
The $15,000 is the pavilions. The $939,590 is the water distribution lines that you
put out. Good.
So that's.
But in other words, it's just all in one place here. To.
If you remember one time I brought you copies of the detailed depreciation schedule, we listed every asset. It's been a while since I brought that to you. That is your depreciation schedule that I keep on my computer for
this. Sure.
And it would show item by
I wasn't questioning what was there. I just wondered.
Hey, Mike,
what?
Can you look at our budget here and just for my clarification? Like in our distribution budget, we're showing water supply improvement, 60-30.
Yeah, and that's probably mostly capital outlays. That's your probably.
Well, so we separate the capital outlays
mm-hmm.
from what's not capital outlays, and we just split that line item into two mm-hmm. line items.
And you could have a capital outlay under this one.
Yeah.
And under this one too.
Okay. All right.
What page are you looking at?
This is our budget from last year. It's the budget that y'all approved. I just for my own clarification.
You've got it broken out on the budget there.
We've got it broken out on the budget. I mean, we've got the water supply improvements in the budget. He just wants us to split that into two line items.
Yeah, some of those are items that we do not capitalize.
Okay. All right.
Fill a debt, so that's the main thing. Everything matches up.
And one of the reasons we do that is on page 31, we like not to have in the variances too many negatives. And this way we solve most of that problem. Now, one of the things we really look at is capital outlays, your assets. We look at everything, because we confirm bank balances, look at the reconciliations and investments. But that's where a lot of times entities will have misclassifications, is in capital outlays.
Well, that one would be.
And the next thing I'm going to talk about, and we've talked about this before, and I don't think I've ever really made a good explanation of this. But you know, a few years ago, we brought in this new Gatsby where you have to report your retirement, which is something really completely separated from you. But since you're a part of it and you contribute to it, it has to be put on there. It's required to be put on your book. If you look at page 11, right before total assets, we have net pension assets of $71,036.
Which line?
It's, you got it? About the middle of the page. Net pension assets, $71,036. Well, that, let me get over there to the note. That comes from the actuarial, and it is based on the calendar year. Your pension information is based on the calendar year. So basically, it's 9 months behind your financial statements. I mean, remember the first year we did this, we had difficulty doing this, but it's much better. I'm talking about not only this entity, all entities have trouble with it. Let me know that it requires something. Look at page 32. Okay, it shows your total pension liabilities for measure of this schedule is going to be built up where you have 10 years reported here, or a third year. If you look towards the bottom, you'll find net pension liabilities, assets, and assets are in brackets. And there's your $71,038 right there.
What line is that?
down to the bottom, the third column, or 2017. That's what's on your balance sheet as an asset. And what it is, you start off December 31st, or January 1st, 2017. Because this goes through, this information goes through December 31st, 2017. It's on a calendar year basis. And of course, you're on the fiscal year end September 30th, 2018. It starts off with the previous year's balance, which doesn't show here, but what it does, it takes into account your service cost, your interest earned on your investments, and all this stuff to come down to the figure. And basically you have about, eight lines down, you show your total pension liability, which was $980,000. I mean, $1,118,000. But your total assets were $1,189,000, which was five lines up. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you, you put more money into the pension plan than they needed right now.
So we're overfunded.
You're overfunded. We're overfunded. That's what I'm telling you. You're overfunded right now. Remember, a few years ago, you were underfunded. And it flips. Well, the reason it flips is because of your investments. And that's what I'm talking about.
No. Okay, I thought we were talking about because of the employee contribution.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it there.
Yeah. That's your life. That's a major part of it.
That's a major part of it, and then your employee part of it.
Yeah.
And the way I understand it, the actuaries at the retirement company, they're whenever they set our rate, they're just guessing on what.
Well, it is
what it's going to take to get us even at the end of the year. Some years they end up a little under, some years they end up a little over.
Well, if you remember my example, the worst ones in the state is teacher retirement system. And why the worst ones? You have the teachers contributing, you have the schools, then you have the state of Texas. That's kind of the problem. I think the state of Texas is behind. And that brings up two other things on page 11. The third outflow of resources, which is $75,614. That's basically, that made a big chunk of that is contributions that you made to your plan after December 31st.
What line is that?
That's about the middle of the pages. You see liabilities?
Yeah.
Okay, you see the 70 million, the line above mm-hmm. that, the deferred outflows related to pensions, $75,614. And in the notes, there's a detail of that. Okay. And then there's, if you look down lower, above net position, deferred inflows related to pensions, $72,948.
Well, what's the difference in that and deferred outflows of resources? That's not pensions, yeah.
Let me get to the note, and I'll try to explain that to you.
75,614.
Okay, look on page 29.
What page?
Page 29. You see the very bottom there. And then you see the numbers before the last paragraph. You see the 75,614, the 72,948.
Yes.
Okay, and under deferred outflows, well, both of them have differences between expected and actual experiences. Change in assumption, net difference between projected and actual earnings is under deferred inflow. And if you see under the biggest thing under the deferred outflows, contributions made subsequent to measurement date. That 42,000 is what was contributed to the plan after December 31st, 2017. In other words, it's money you and your employees put into the plan that was after the measurement date.
And that will be equalized out there.
And that goes on
next.
And in the next calendar year.
Yeah.
And finishing up my presentation. I like this type of financial statements and audit where everything is very smooth. And that goes back to the top, which you're the top, Kevin, Kim, Judy. They make my job a lot easier and they make the auditor's job a lot easier. And I appreciate working with you because I don't come in and I don't have to clean up a big mess. I really appreciate that. And I have cleaned up my share of messes.
We appreciate not having a mess to clean up.
Me too.
Well, what I'm saying is y'all do a very good job and you're very organized. You do a good job of what you do is producing water. You do a good job of accounting for it and taking care of the resources for the taxpayers.
Well, I always consider clean audit when assets and liabilities match up on paper. That, of course, that's between your and your coding. And we thank you for keeping us in line with it. But
I don't have to do a very hard job because I think there's some people besides me that does that. Judy and Kevin and Kim.
I think they're more than willing to do whatever is necessary.
Well, they do. They do a very good job. Makes my job easier.
Well, I tell you, it makes our job easier with the whole organization runs like that.
That's right. But it comes from the top.
Laying the pipe.
Well, but organization comes from the top. And you are the top. The board is the top. You're accountable to the taxpayers. You're accountable to your customers. And you make sure that that is met. You're financially responsible, but you're also responsible for your product. And so that makes my job a lot easier when I come in here. And I appreciate that.
Thank you. Like I'm saying, what we're doing, I think.
We appreciate you. Any further questions on the audit, or any further comment to us?
Well, no, the only other comment I have is if you ever have any questions, if you read over this, feel free to call me. I'll answer anything I can.
We know what to ask. If you can't answer it, well,
I'll do my best. If I can't answer, I'll try to find it.
Yeah, you ready for tomorrow? I'm ready.
I make a motion that the board of directors approve the fiscal year 17 and 18 annual audit as prepared by Gerald Nelson and Director General Manager to forward a copy to the Executive Director of the TCEQ.
Second. Okay, got a motion second. Any further comments? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same side. No opposition. One more year.
Yes.
You feel free to go if you need to go.
I'm going to wait. John may have some stuff to do after that.
Okay. Next item is our 2019 holiday schedule. It's exactly like it's been the last 2 years, and we went ahead and put that week between Christmas and New Year's in there, if that's okay. I mean, with the last 2 years, we've done that, and it's the employees really appreciate it. It's a good perk that you allow us, and you know, we really don't. I don't think did anybody work. We didn't have a. You know, Colt and JD have to keep the water flowing down at the plant, but other than that, you know, very very seldom do we have anything happen.
We don't have a major break down here.
One of these days, you know, we may get called in, but for the most part, that it goes off without a hitch. Nobody's working that week anyway, but we appreciate that.
Motion to accept the holiday schedule.
So move.
We got a motion in a second. Accept the 2019 holiday schedule. Any further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. And all opposition, same side. You have a holiday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you certainly will.
First thing on my general manager's report is waterline extension update. If you'll look at then we put the complete report in there. So if you look at the third page, you'll see where we're at right now on extensions. We just We just finished up Ridgeview. Our contractor had actually finished that before the holidays. It started raining and we had a little bit of cleanup to do up there, so they finished that first part of, just as soon as our new contract with CJB began, they came back, got up there and cleaned up Ridgeview. And is it 100% you think, or?
We're
90%. Okay, we're just, there's a lot of seepage up there right now in the bar ditches, and we're having a hard time getting that done. But other than that, Ridgeview's in good shape. There, you know, I thought we would have problems with the homeowners in there. Usually in the subdivisions we do, just because people, you know, maintain their yards all the way to the road. But we didn't really have any problems. We didn't have hardly any complaints out there. It went good. And, you know, the customers that have water are happy. When we finished there up, we went to Deer Trail. That's in Kirk Estates. Been trying to get there for quite a while now. And the guys, and we're probably over halfway in there, aren't we? They hit some real hard rock in Deer Trail, and they're having to bring a hammer in, so it's slowed things down. If it hadn't have been for that, they'd probably be close to finish, but we'll be done there in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then we're headed to Eagle's Nest. That's a subdivision we've been trying to get to for quite a while. I mean, it's a challenge because it's such a long run to it. But we did get all 21 customers in there. Their homeowners association paid for their meters back in September, and they've been waiting for us to get there, and that's where we're headed next.
Cool.
We've got a
started there yet?
No, we haven't started there yet. Just as soon as we finish Deer Trail, they're gonna go start headed that way.
Is that the one on towards the Brazos, or is that the one on 140?
It's down toward Brazos Point. If you go down 200 till it turns into 199, it's there.
Are you going across what number is that?
That's 402. We're about, yeah, that cattle guard road. We're already about halfway down 402. We're right at the top of the hill up there where Jimmy Gosden used to live. And that's where we'll start. We'll start there in front of Jimmy Gosden's old place. And
pretty nice home.
There are. There's some nice homes. That's the same developer that developed Falcon Ridge developed that, and the water system out there just doesn't really work for them. There's not enough wells. They've built so many houses that it's outgrown the water system that he put in, and they're ready for us to get there. But yeah, it's down toward you're going toward Sandlands. It's pretty good ways down in there. But it'll be good to get an extension down that way, and this is a good customer to have on the end of it because they're going to use a lot of water down there. They'll pull a lot of water through that part of the system.
Yeah, it won't go stagnant on that end.
No.
It'll be easy digging, right, too.
It should be easy digging. I think maybe on 402 it might be hard. There's some rocks there. But once we get down there in that subdivision, I think it's going to be pretty easy digging. That was a, you know, there's a coastal field there.
Yeah.
And they're building up there. They're building houses.
Yeah.
Active.
Yeah, they are.
So it's going to be
a county road. I don't know who lives down there, but there's a house way down there toward the river. Does the county road go all the way down there, or is that private property?
It goes all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up County Road 199.
I believe the county road goes, that's an FM road. 199 goes all the way to Sandland Camp. I mean, right there where you pay to go in Sandlands, I think, is the very end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long ways down there.
Yeah.
When we leave Eagle's Nest, we got a little short job over here on 67 West. That's Danny Chambers got a mobile home park, and we've been trying to get to that for quite a while. It's, what did we figure? It's just 300 or 400 feet.
Yes,
it's not very far. We have to go. We're going to knock that out. It almost gets us to FM 203 that heads back to Walnut Springs. I mean, it gets us within quarter of a mile, maybe, of 203. We're going to jump over there and do that. And then we've got...
What about Falcon Ridge? I thought we had that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to... We're going to talk about Falcon Ridge. Then we've got a proposed... Highway 144 North. We've got a proposed subdivision. Man's getting it platted right now. He's fixing to take it to the commissioner's court here within the next 60 days probably. And I've sent them a letter of commitment. His bank was needing a letter of commitment. I told them we would extend water to that subdivision within 60 days of him putting in his infrastructure. He's gonna have to put the water lines per our development procedures inside the subdivision, and we're gonna take it up to the edge of his property and tie him in, just like we did the last couple subdivisions that we've done. But that's gonna require us to, right now, our water line stops at Jimmy Gosden's place, if you know where Jimmy lives, on 144 North, just kind of right straight across from the private school.
Yeah.
but anyway, it's across from Happy Hills. Now, there's only one homeowner between us and this new development, and that's Bob Miller. We're going to have to cross all the way through Bob Miller's place. And since it's on a state highway that's likely to expand here within the next, you know, probably 10, 15 years, we're going to buy easement from Bob. I've talked to Bob a couple of times. They're willing to give us easements. We'll do them just like we did all the other easement that we bought. We'll pay him for the easement and probably end up giving him a fence because we'll...
Does Bob go all the way up to that place?
Yes, he does. No, he goes all the way to that place.
He got one.
Yeah. So just that one landowner, and I'll...
That's going to go from the east side to the river.
It's on the west side.
West side.
Well, actually, there's the Texas New Mexico. You know, Jimmy lives here. The Texas New Mexico Service Center is in between. But right there where that service center is, TxDOT has, I think it's 60 feet. They have a 60-foot right-of-way. They got a really, really, really wide right-of-way for some reason. So we'll cross TxDOT right-of-way right there because they've got that extra right-of-way. Then we'll go directly on to Bob Miller's place.
Okay. Is the addition going to be on the east side of the highway?
The what?
That new addition that you're going.
No, it's on the west side. It's between Bob's place and Somerville Floors.
They're cleaning up that other side so well. I don't know.
Yeah. Now those people have contacted us as well. They're wanting water over there, but that's just one customer. You know, we wouldn't be able to run water to them just for that one customer. But this subdivision is going to be, I think, 37 lots, so it's going to allow us to run this. It's a 10-inch line. We're going to run that 10-inch line all the way to that subdivision, and I think drop to 6 or 8 at that point. So,
you think we got enough elevation to get across that? To get across it east?
Yes, sir.
That whole place kind of goes up on a hill.
It gets tight at the very very back corner. We're going to get down to about 35 psi in one of those lots probably. And we told that developer, you know, we can serve most of it anywhere from what 47 to 35, but in the very northwest corner, there's one lot that's got a little knob on it that's going to get real close to not being legal pressure, but. Other than that one lot, we can serve it okay. It's not going to have a great pressure, but we can do it. That's about as far as we can go. We can't go much further than that. We can jump on the other side of the road because it's a little bit lower, but like up there, once you cross that County Road 304 there at Somerville Floor, there's a CCN there. There's a water system owned by Aqua Texas. All those houses back up in there are in their water system, so we can't sell water from there to the Stonewater Church. That's all a CCN that we can't sell water in. So, you know, the only place to go from there is on the east side of the road where you're talking about they're cleaning up. We can sell a little bit of water on the east side, and then we get to a point where we're just too high to serve.
Then is that going to take in all of Glenrose Hill? We've got some out there on the...
You know, we've pretty well. We've pretty well got Glenrose Hills covered. We got, as a matter of fact, a customer came in last week that is on that Glenrose Hill. What is that? 313.
Yeah.
He's He's the, probably our very last customer on 313 before it drops off.
At High Hill.
Yeah, and we're within 100 yards of getting to him. So we'll, we're gonna squeeze him in somewhere, and then Glen Rose Hills is completely finished.
Well, I hadn't even thought about the elevation there.
Yeah.
But it's a problem. It gets high.
Yeah, there's a point right there in the.
Go out toward the county line, that gets high.
Yeah, it does get high.
So it looks like going up over that, the hill there toward the people. I guess they're gonna build a house where you can look into the river, or if they haven't already.
Yeah, I believe there is a house back there already.
High, too.
But that's, I plugged that one in there, and that's really contingent on him getting approved by the commissioners of court, him actually following through with this subdivision. So I'm not gonna run that line. I mean, it's $170,000, that it's gonna cost for us to run that line to hit him. Now, it's a line that we needed to run anyway, but we're not gonna do it until he gets the subdivision platted. We approve his utilities. He puts some utilities in, and then we're gonna make our expenditure. We're not gonna do it until he's done what he needs to do. And then, you know, that's kind of like Eagle's Nest. That'll be a good subdivision on the end of that line. I mean, that's a pretty good size line. That's a 10-inch line, so it'd be good to have them on the end of that line. They'll use a lot of water up there.
Is that 10-inch on that 144 north?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's 10-inch. We've stopped there in front of Jimmy Gosling's with a 10-inch, and we'll extend that across Miller's Place and then reduce down to 8 or 6.
Will that developer set the taps, or will we set them?
We'll set the taps. We've gone to setting our own taps, because when we have developers set the taps, they always end up in the wrong spot. Then we end up with two taps on a lot. You know, one where the meter needed to be and one where the, you know, developer guessed that it should have been. So it just works out better for us. And we don't really put a whole lot of money in setting taps. It just makes it better. It makes it easier for us to come back and, when somebody actually buys the lot, set the taps in. The developer will do everything other than set the taps. He'll put the fire hydrants in. He'll do, put the blow offs in, everything else.
He put the fire hydrants?
Yes, he'll put the fire hydrants in.
Well, do you anticipate a lot more projects like this going in within the county?
You know, I've always anticipated a lot more, but it's been way less than what I thought. This is really only, I think, the second true subdivision that's come in. You know, we had that Oakview Ranch that went in south on the south side of the county. That was a real subdivision since we started selling water, and I think this is the second one. Can you think of another one? We've had a couple. You know, Danny Butler did 4 or 5 houses over here, but it wasn't really a subdivision. It was on a road that was already existing. You know, Bodie Butler's proposing a little subdivision over here. It's just a couple little cul-de-sacs. It's a small deal, but, you know, if Bodie follows through with that, that's
like what we got on the lake up here.
Yeah, yeah, kind of the same deal. That'll be our third one, but this is really, the second one that I can think of, which is less than I thought. I thought what we'd see them popping up, but, you know, we just haven't.
You know, I hadn't driven through a long time, but that's Glendale's Hill got more houses in there now.
It does. And there's people like this guy that came in last week. He bought a piece of property down there that's just that was littered with, you know, old cars and trailer houses, and he's cleaning it up and going to build a new house on it. So it's Glen Rose Hill, since we've put water up there, it's changing a little bit. People are getting in there and building some site-built houses. And then we get to Falcon Ridge. Well, we had a couple weeks ago, we had a bad leak at Falcon Ridge. It leaked. And it's, you know, they're always on Saturday night, it seems like. But we had a bad leak on a Saturday night. We fixed it, and then Sunday it blew out just the other side of where we fixed it. And we had, our boys were out there all weekend again. And that's, I don't know, maybe, how many leaks is that? 20 leaks? 20, 30 leaks out there.
So yeah, that's what, when we buy a system.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we didn't buy it. They gave it to us, but
well, we took it over.
When we took over system, I mean, that's ended up being a good customer for us, because they've built a bunch of really nice houses in there. But that system that John Hall built out there, it's terrible. It's just, It's not even Schedule 40 pipe, is it? It's just, some of it's Schedule 40, some of it's class pipe. It's all glued PVC, and, you know, when the ground gets dry, there's a lot of clay out there. When the ground gets dry, the pipes get loose in the ditch lines because nothing's bedded with sand, and we just have leaks. And those customers, if y'all haven't heard from any, you're going to start hearing from them because they're down all the time. And it's, you know, it's nothing that we've done. And it's a burden. It's a burden on our guys. It's getting to be. No, there's not. That's why I've got it on here. I see us getting to a point. I've always told those people, we're not going to replace y'all until we get everybody that's without water customer. We've always had people without water that were waiting on us to get there, and they already had water. So I took the position that y'all've got water, we're going to hit the people that don't have water. And I see us getting to a point down there where we don't have anything real critical, and we could probably fall back and do Falcon Ridge and do a replacement on it. I want to do it before people come down here and start complaining to y'all about it. And that might be a point where we can do it. But that's it's a good subdivision. It's good, you know, good customer base out there. Yeah, and it's a lot of built. Yeah, there's all. And the longer we wait, the worse, the harder it gets, because it just makes, it's just more driveways we got to bore under when the longer we wait on it. I wish we could have done it 2 or 3 years ago, but we just, you know, I couldn't justify doing it because we always had somebody waiting on water. Another thing is they don't have the benefit of having the fire hydrants like all of our other customers, because, you know, John, the lines are too small for fire hydrants in there now. But they'll get, once we fall back and redo it, they'll have fire, we'll run 6-inch lines, they'll have fire protection.
Insurance company doesn't know that they got fire protection.
Probably not.
The whole county has got.
You know, they probably do receive the benefits because the Pant County has that good rating. The insurance companies don't know they only have 2-inch lines in there. But yes, we'll I'd like to do that, and it's the Colt Plaster probably going to appreciate it more than anybody, because it seems like Colt's always on call when we have a leak. He's the one that ends up going out there in the middle of the night having to fix leaks all pretty routinely. But anyway, that's why I've moved Falcon Ridge up, just because of that last really bad leak. And it'll remain kind of fluid. If we have somebody that really needs water, they'll go in front of Falcon Ridge. But I'd like to get in there and get them done. Anything else on distribution, John? Next item is our bank accounts. Now, a service center update. I don't have anything written up. I'm just going to tell you where we're at. We got the pad built back there. We've been letting it get rained on a little bit because we added a couple of feet of fill to it. But we've had the building engineered by Mueller's, and we've got the plans and been talking to contractors about doing it. And the way I'm going to propose to do that service center is real similar to the way we did this office. We'd like to just act as our own subcontractor and hire the concrete man. We may have to take 3 bids because it'll probably be an amount where I'll have to take 3 quotes on it. But like to do it to where, you know, we get it within my approval authority. It'll go a little bit faster if I can do that. So I'll break up the concrete, take 3 quotes on the concrete, on the material. You know, there's only really one company that sells that, Mueller's, in our county. I'd like to buy the material locally if I can. So we'll split the material up so that I can buy it locally. The prices they've given us on it so far look pretty good, and they're doing the engineering and the design on it. Then we'll end up.
Where do we buy most of our concrete now?
You know, Larry Hussey does most of our concrete work. I think he's done all of the concrete work, as a matter of fact, that we've done ourselves. Now, the general contractors, like for the park, they used other folks. But, you know, I would start with Larry Hussey and get a number from him, and then take a couple more bids. Other than Larry.
Is the price going up?
I think the price has still jumped up. It may be going down here before, for too long. I don't know when they gave us that price that they didn't. Yeah. So anyway, we're not in a real big hurry on that service center. We're going to try. My goal is to have it finished by the end of this budget year so that we can get everything paid out, because we've got it budgeted in this year's budget. The Bernard Street property, that's Bubba Keith's property down there. We got Merced started in there, and I don't know if you've looked at it, but you can drive through there and look at it. He's pretty well. Karen went through and was gracious enough to help us with identifying all the trees that we wanted to keep. She flagged all the trees we wanted to keep, and he took down all the hackberries and all the junk trees, and it's looking really good. It did clean up good, and it's going to be a nice park for us. We got to get Bubba out of there, and then we'll start in on the.
He's still in there?
He's still there. Yeah, we gave him I gave him a temporary residential lease on the deal because he didn't have anywhere to go, but now he does, and so he's going to be getting out of there here in the next few weeks.
I see the post-it sign too. Thank you for doing that. I think. Did you put the trust with no postage?
No, I didn't. I think that was already there. It just was covered up. It was covered up with vines. But.
Well, that's I think that's a wise thing until.
Yeah, they put it out until
we get it ready.
Well, I'll tell you what,
spring break coming up. You know,
yeah,
it's going to be thick.
I'll tell you what we were going to do. Our plan was we've got that orange net construction fencing. We were going to put it on the guardrail down there at the channel dam, and just extend it around all the way up to pretty close to the house, just to designate that that's a construction area to keep people out of there.
Yeah, that's probably.
What is the decision that we made to do with the house matter?
Well, I'll tell you what my thoughts on the house were. It's got a lot of neat rock work around it, and we've had a lot of people stop by there in the cities, and Helen Kerwin, and a lot of people talking to us about keeping as much as of that as we could, and you know, that's kind of
petrified wood.
Yeah, a lot of petrified wood. That's kind of what I was wanting to do as well. I don't think there's anything we can do with the house, and my thoughts on it were, we keep the foundation and the lower part of the house, and just knock the house off of it, pour concrete inside of it, and build a little pavilion. Similar to the one that they've got at Heritage Park, kind of similar to the one that we've got right here, just an open pavilion so people can go in there, you know, for day use. It's going to be a really nice setting. Karen mentioned, you know, she visualized people having weddings and things there, but I think that's what my plan is. And unless... You know,
I think that's a good plan, because if we leave it like it is, somebody will come in and start chipping away at the rock.
Right. And it'll get vandalized if we leave a house.
Somebody said don't fire it.
Will the city maintain it?
City said that they'll maintain it. You know, they're maintaining Big Rocks Park. Right. They're maintaining our other lot. You know, part of our agreement to let them put that lift station in there was that they would maintain that other lot for us. So they've offered to maintain this as well. Chris has. They haven't taken action on it yet, but I don't know why they wouldn't. But
that's good.
My goal was to get everything done in there, and then just let them start maintaining it.
Has Bubba got a deadline?
Bubba's got a deadline, and it's toward the end of the third weekend of next month. He said he's going to be out by the end of this month. He's got him a place to go now, and he told me that he's going to be out by the end of this month. They've got all of his mother's possessions before she passed away. They're all still in that house, and I think that, you know,
trying to get it moved.
Having a hard time getting everything out of there. But yeah. They'll get out, and we'll get in there, and we'll get our thing done. Other than that, our bank account report, well, I will go over that. We got our... It's everything's up a couple million dollars because we got our check from the power plant, or our wire transfer from the power plant at the end of January. But that's always helpful. That's really what floats our boat, is when those guys pay their taxes. Total funds, $11 million. We're getting ready to have to make a debt service payment. How much is that one going to be?
That's just entrance, so it's $69,000.
$69,000, it's just the interest on our bonds. Our principal payment comes in September, and then that middle number, the $1.3 million, it'll go down to back close to zero. But everything's going real well. Getting ready to have to bid out a couple of our CDs. I guess just one of them. That one CD at Lubbock National expires in March next month, so we'll bid it out this month and get another CD there. But everything's going good with regard to the bank account. Water usage report. Sold 42 million gallons in January. No, I'm sorry, that was $42,000. 16 million gallons. That was down. It was down from 18 million gallons a year ago. And I guess it's just because of the rain that we had early in the month kept things wetter than we normally would. But we're up, about 90 customers over where we were last year. It seems like every day somebody comes in wanting water. It's not every day, obviously, but
it seems like it.
It
depends on our big customers too, how much they sell.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that helps out is the more customers we get on these lines, the less flushing we're doing. A lot of that water is going to a lot of the water we've been always flushed out on the grounds ending up going to customers and we're getting paid for it. So as time goes on and these new customers. Sir?
What we flush?
No, I don't think the flushing is not showing up on there. No. We have to, I mean, we track the flushing. We have to report the flushing to the TCEQ every year, but it's, I haven't, off the top of my head, I don't know what the trend is, but I would suspect the trend is going down on the amount of flushing that we're having to do just because we're bringing on more customers and using that water rather than flushing it.
Just have a calendar schedule flush.
I think what do you flush every Friday?
We flush probably every Friday, but the guys have a schedule on River Road. Needs to be flushed.
And what they do is they go out, they'll flush that dead end until they get the chlorine residual that they're looking for, and you know, nowadays I think, you know, the chlorine is, I mean, it's, they get their residual sooner because there's more of that water is being used. When we first started running water lines, you know, we had very few customers and that water wasn't being used, and they'd have to flush a lot longer to get that chlorine residual that we had to have.
I guess the lake level's been about the same.
Yeah, the lake level, you know, we filled it up in first part of January and we hadn't pumped again, but lake level's in good shape.
Do you have a taste from the chlorine? If you get good half?
You know, you can. It's just more, to me, you can smell it more than you can taste it, but I don't think.
I noticed on ours, every once in a while it was there yesterday. The taste was yellow. It's taste.
And if you smell it, you taste it.
I never smelled it.
I think that in town, it seems like, I don't know if the city's adding anything more or adding some of their water with it. It seems like it's a little more chlorine than it had been.
But it doesn't last long.
No. Yeah.
You may just get a glass or you may let it. So I'll take a glass of water, put it where I'm in bed. I get up and get a drink. And while it sits there, then there's that taste sometime. And it was last night today.
It's probably just a slug of water coming through the system that just, for one reason or another, has a little more chlorine in it than.
I'll tell you, in my house, it's perfect.
Is it?
Absolutely.
It's good. No, I like it,
I don't know if the city's not adding any chlorine to it, are they?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think the city, now, the city, if the city's,
pumps their
well, for one reason, blending any groundwater with it, they'll pump them wells once a month just to keep them keep them active, and when they pump their wells, they add chlorine to their well water. So you might have got a slug of well water that was chlorinated a little more than our water norm is. It's hard to tell what it is. I would think that, you know, for one reason or another, there was a lot of usage that day, and there was a lot of water pulling through the line, and it just pulled some fresher water that had more chlorine to it. That chlorine, as it goes through the lines, it ages, and
it's automatic here. I mean,
it's automatic. Yeah. And we boost the chlorine at that pump station out there, across from the entrance of Fossil Rim. So you may be getting chlorine from that pump station. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
That pump station right there by the water tank.
Yes, sir. Where the next to the mobile home park, Cedar Ridge Mobile Home Park. Final item is our park report. We've just started it over for the year, so there's not a whole lot going on out at the park. It seems like we're still getting lots of kayak fishermen, but right now, this time of year, we're not making any money there.
And then,
I think they're catching bass, catching a lot of bass. No, sir, just black bass. Other than that, I've got all your financial reports and investment reports attached, but that's all I've got.
Kevin, I don't know if I forgot or I didn't hear, but did we ever get that Sunset Park property settled?
No, not yet. Over the holiday, I was talking to that guy up to the holidays, and over the holidays, I couldn't really get a deal negotiated with him, and I'll get started back on it. I'm just letting it set right now.
No hurry on it?
Nah, there's no hurry on it.
All right, then I guess we're ready for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
You got a motion.
Third.
You want